Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle, my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach in Washington, D.C., or when I teach from home on Mondays, sometimes I record it here, because why not? Because it's COVID. We all make up the rules. Today, I'm talking about imagination and iteration. We'll get to those things in a moment, but first things first, if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, every Monday, new episodes drop. Feel free to check out on your favorite podcasting app, Spotify. I think there's Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, and new and improved Amazon has podcasts, so that's fun. Give a link, give a click, give a subscribey thing, let people know. That's awesome. It helps other people see it. Like I said, I don't ever pretend to be an expert about this stuff. I just am a working instructional coach who's also a classroom teacher, kind of have my foot in both realms, and I do a lot of listening, a lot of reading, a lot of research, so anything I can share, like I say, reading is breathing in, and writing is breathing out. So if I'm breathing in all sorts of stuff and the reading and research I'm doing, I use this to sort of squeeze the sponge and connect with people all over the U.S. and all over the world. So thank you for those who listen. I really appreciate it. It's so nice to connect, especially in a time of a pandemic where it feels like we're all just doing it by ourselves, right? But today I want to talk about imagination and iteration. If you want to talk further about this or anything else, hit me up on Twitter. I'm at MeehanEDU on Twitter. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. Love teaching and I like getting better at it. So let's talk. Let's iterate that one. You like that? And I have a website. It's www.edadrenalinerush.com, like educational edadrenalinerush.com. Have links and templates, resources. Feel free to use them. Imagine whatever you will. Iterate them. You know, borrow them. Steal them. I'm okay with it. I think we should make cool things and put them out in the world. Very Tesla model. Like, not like the car company, but the man, Nikola Tesla. Like, just make stuff and give it away for free. My friends and loved ones are like, hey, you need to be better at capitalism. I'm like, you didn't get in teaching to make money, so it seems stupid to, you know, lose the ability to connect with people because you're trying to make a buck. So yeah, use the stuff. It's available for free. The one thing that does cost any money is I wrote a book. It's called Adrenaline Rush. It's all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And that's available wherever books are sold. Link is on my website. You want to check it out. You can read the first couple of chapters for free. Like I said, I don't think it sucks. So let's talk about iteration and imagination. Because true confessions today, just us, just you and me. We're going to talk, maybe some controversy, but I'm going to go ahead and just own what is mine here and say, I don't think that I'm a particularly imaginative person. And I know that might sort of sound like false modesty or come as a surprise in this conversation, because a lot of the hype that comes around the stuff that I do is like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I was looking for in my classroom. How do you think of these things? When do you sleep? You know, like, so creative. I will be honest, I don't think of myself as a particularly creative person. And I get a reputation for, you know, like being a person who's, you know, always the next big idea, the next big iteration. There's the chaplain at my school, every time he visits my office, he says, how's the idea room? I'm like, you know, it's funny that you say that, because again, I get the reputation for being a person who comes up with this stuff. But I think there's a line to draw. And I don't think it's false modesty. I'm being 100% honest. I've spent way too much time and money in therapy to be fake about this. But like, I think there's a difference between iteration and imagination. And both of them are great, but they're two totally divergent things. And iteration and imagination do work hand in hand. And I think if you're really good at iterating, it can lead to what passes for imagination. But I'll talk about imagination immediately with a bit of a story. So I'm part of a writer's group. Every couple weeks, myself and some friends get together and we like critique one another's pages. And they're not like pages about work or pages about like professional development or pages about like, you know, books I'm writing. They're just short fiction pages, like short stories or, you know, chapters of books and things like that. I am under no delusion that I will ever make any money as a creative fiction writer. I just like the idea of getting eyes on the product, keep my skills sharp, because I teach literature all day when I'm not instructional coaching. So to be able to take some of this time back and say, again, reading is breathing in, writing is breathing out, like, you know all this stuff about how it's done. I was always frustrated in school that all these teachers would say what great literature was. I'm like, yeah, why didn't you write a book there, boss? I think it's important that people who are studying a craft practice that craft. So if you're a scientist, you should be practicing scientific endeavors, whether you're working with, you know, ham radio or whether you're taking part in coding or whether you're taking part in research. I think you should. I don't think it just keeps your skills sharp. I think it makes you honest and authentic. And I think a lot of that is not particularly imaginative. It's iterating, right? Iterating is like doing a thing again and again and again and again to get marginally new results each time. Imagining is inventing a new thing from whole cloth. And my creative writing that I'm working with, you know, creative writing group of people, is every couple of weeks, just keep my skills sharp. Hey, we're doing this. We're practicing. And because we practice together, like, I think I get stronger at it. I think I get better at it. I become more attuned to it. I become more aware. Like, it's like feeling, you know, each of the extremities of your body and saying, oh, that's where my foot is. That's where my arm is. That's where my shoulders are. Like, being aware when, like, you're going on a run or when you're in yoga practice, like, where each of your pieces of your parts align. Like, you know, like finding, like, talking about, you know, when you're in a yoga class, let's talk about, imagine each of the, pieces of your spine stacking like porcelain cups, right? Like, just that mindfulness of each part of your body. I think that for me is what creative writing does for me. It makes me aware of every word that's on the page. You know, I can write a professional development, blog post or a conference presentation or book, you know, researchy stuff. I could bang out like a chapter in a weekend, 3,000, 4,000 words, 6,000 words, pretty easily. Because for me, that's not creative writing. It's iterative writing. I've generated all this information over time and I just have to sort of put it in one space and it's sort of word dumb. But creative writing is very, very different because you have to come up with all of those ideas and it has to sound good on the page. So I could work for like 3 or 4 hours and only get like 400 words. That's insane. I mean, like, you're talking about 100 words an hour of writing. That means on average, each minute you're writing like 1.5 words. I mean, imagine what that feels like, right? And so again, so my imaginative process is different than the iterative process. Iterative is just practice. It's like at bats, standing up and doing it again and again and again. In our classrooms, we have a lot of iteration, right? We taught it third period. It went okay. I think I need to make these changes by fifth period. So you make these necessary tweaks and adjustments. By seventh period, you're rocking and rolling on it. If you're on this sort of swing hybrid schedule at the end of the week, you're like, ugh, I never want to see that lesson again because I had to teach it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all the different groups of students. So you probably feel exhausted. But it's iterative. Each thing is like, you know, almost like a performer on stage. Hey, when I hit my marks here, you know, I pause and wait for applause. When I do this thing, I make sure I'm blocking in this way. I turn and face this direction. You know, there's a laugh at this moment. You kind of get that feel for it. And as you develop your routine, iteration gets easier because you've done it 3 and 4 and 5 times. You can kind of know where those hiccups or those breaks are going to be. And so for me, I think I'm a very iterative person. I spend a lot of time developing things again and again and again, practicing the muscle memory. But I don't see myself as particularly creative. So like when we do creative fiction, with my creative writers group, I really do depend on them to give me the writing prompt every week. Because I don't think outside of the box like that. I think when someone hands me something, I'm like, we can do a bunch of cool things with this something. Think and look at it in a different way. But, you know, I don't read fantasy books. I don't read sci-fi. I don't read things that are like particularly highly imaginative. I read American literature, realistic fiction, literary fiction, right? And it's all very grounded in this, you know, small moments of the human condition stuff. So when I write my own fiction, you become like the breathe out of what you breathe in. So if you're reading books like Invisible Man or The Hate U Give or The Great Gatsby or To Kill a Mockingbird, they're all like realistic fiction set in a contemporary America of different times and spaces. So it's dealing with issues of like, you know, class and gender, racism, sexism, ableism, family, you know, questions of love and loss, these matters of the human heart. And for me, I think that's beautiful. That's what I focus on. But when someone's like, invent a world, like in a world where, like, I don't really know what to do with that. I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy. I'm not a Harry Potter guy particularly. Like, I understand that they exist and they're fun, but I don't see myself going to those spaces. And that requires imagination. And I think for us as educators, we fear both iteration and imagination. But I think if there's any upshot to this, which is kind of the purpose of today's podcast, is that today I want to say to anybody who's listening, if you read the stuff I post up on Twitter, or if you read my book, or if you visit my website, a lot of people call me creative. A lot of people call me imaginative. They're like, oh my gosh, you're just full of ideas. And I don't think that's particularly true. I think what I'm good at is I have one trick, and I do that one trick a lot. But to an outside eye, it passes for imagination. And I think that's okay, because iteration is doing the same thing again and again and again and again, just trying new and different ways with the same thing. So like, I don't know, what if I did this, you know, with one arm tied behind my back? Or how about we could use this thing in a slightly different way? Iterate, you know, like try it. If it didn't work, try it again. Build it, watch it fall, see what fell apart, do an autopsy real quick, take it apart, do it again. I love that. But imagination is, here's a brand new thing that's never been invented in the world. And if you notice, most everything I'm sharing is, I don't know, here's how we make a digital version of a thing that is already in the world. I'm not inventing new things. I'm just saying, here's a different way to apply, you know, a deck of cards or a bingo board or a choice board or some interactive activity or a template I saw on ESPN or the NFL or Netflix. These are things that when I post up, I made a thing. It's basically, I saw a thing in the world and I said, that would be cool to use in the classroom. So I just whipped up a classroom version of it. It's not that I invented Netflix, not that I invented, you know, an NFL draft or a bingo board. I have one trick, I'm good at it. And I think that to people who are, you know, seeing it in a flyby kind of view can actually be really impressive because the world needs both of those things. They need people to iterate, to say, let's keep playing with this again and again and again. Like, what's the latest patch? What's the latest version of this thing? That's good. But we also need people who can imagine. And the people who imagine come up with brand new ideas. But the beauty is these things work in tandem. So when you're starting to iterate a thing, then you pass it out to people as if it's, I made a thing, churn this out. That was the thing that they needed to get over that hump. Because for them, it's incredibly imaginative, or it sparks their imagination, and your iteration sparks their imagination. And the same could happen in our own professional development, our own lesson planning, and our work in our classrooms. Just giving students like a sandbox in which to play and saying, hey, here's the bucket, and here's the shovel, build me some cool castles. It's amazing what they can build because you've given them permission to use their imagination just because you've iterated a little bit. Wait, I'm allowed to play here? I'm allowed to build stuff? I'm allowed to like watch it fall apart and try again? Yeah, that's good. It's empowering. It's galvanizing. And it says permission is something that we all seek. But in education, so much, I think we're afraid to step outside of that thing. Or we say to ourselves, I'm not imaginative. You know, like I'm saying, I'm not a creative person. I think that's so important that you don't have to be particularly creative. We all have creativity in us. But if you just iterate, try the same thing again and try it in a different way, in enough time, that becomes an imaginative process where even by accident, in small degrees, you look at what you're working on today versus what you're working on 5 months or 5 years ago, and you're like, I barely recognize where I was. Because you're doing this constant commitment to, I'm going to do it a little bit differently tomorrow. And eventually, if you change 1% of it over the course of a year, every day, over the course of a year, you've changed it 360 degrees, 365. That's really cool. People look at it and say, how could I ever possibly do that? And you're like, I don't know, I just played with it, just tinkered with it, just tried it. And the beauty of the internet is you really can't break these things. You can, you know, like have them automatically saved or backed up to a cloud. So it's really hard to have a program crash or have the whole thing kind of spectacularly fail. And I think that's good because that is what we want to see in our classrooms. That messiness, that iterative space, that collaborative design space to say, let's just try stuff, guys. Let's pull out the Legos, let's pull out the blocks, let's pull out the paper, pencils, crayons, markers, and let's see what happens if. Giving ourselves permission to iterate leads to incredible imagination. And so when people look at me and say, you're so creative, I'm like, I don't think that's true. I think I just iterate a lot. We can do the same thing in our classrooms. And I think that if, you know, you don't tune in for, you know, my permission, but give yourself permission to like, I don't know, just play with stuff. You can get there. And it feels really good. And then people look at you like, how did you get there? I was like, I don't know, I was just playing with stuff. That is, like I said, it makes me want to go back and do more of this job tomorrow. So anyways, thanks for tuning in this week. Hope you're staying safe and staying healthy. Hope you're wearing masks and staying home if you can. God bless you. Be well. Please feel free to message me on the Twitter machine or anywhere else, at @mehanedu. Hit me up on the website, adrenalinerush.com, and we'll talk more on Monday of next week. Till then, bye for now.